Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's March 13th, 1697, and another remarkable event is about to be uncovered by Ariel, Rebecca, and Ollie, the Retrospectors.
The island of Flores is nowadays proclaimed by the Guatemalan Tourist Board to be one of the world's 25 most colourful places, which I presume means it didn't make the top 20. But the events that happened there today in history in 1697 would have been colourful indeed, because it was on this day that the island, then known as Norpaten, capital of the last independent Maya kingdom, finally fell to an assault by Spanish conquistadors.
Yeah, the 100 or so Spanish soldiers were armed with several dozen muskets, presumably passing them between one to the other, 9 cannons of various sizes, and 2 pedreros, a kind of cannon for firing rocks. The Itza warriors defending Norpaten weren't entirely defenceless. They were armed with ornate spears, swords, and bows. The elite warriors wore quilted body armor that was stuffed with densely packed cotton or rock salt. These actually ended up being adopted by many conquistadors who found them much lighter and easier to move in than European armor. But nonetheless, Spanish firepower did ultimately overpower the defenders, many of whom fled the island city by swimming across to the mainland.
Yeah, the Spanish force was led by Martin de Orsue y Arizmendi, and he had hoped to convince this last unconquered Maya kingdom of the Itza, whose capital was this island of Norpaten in a lake in current-day Guatemala, to surrender rather than fight. He was like, well, can't we talk this out? And they had responded by refusing to turn up to peace talks, A, and then B, massing their troops aggressively towards the Spanish invaders. And so Ursua then launched an assault on the city with this just over 100 troops, and they rowed this newly constructed galeota ship towards the island city, and halfway across the lake they encountered a large fleet of canoes blocking their approach. And Ursua just basically said, let's just go straight through them. And after this brief but very intense battle, which resulted in heavy casualties for the Itza and not too many casualties for the Spanish, the city had fallen.
Yes, and this was, as I said in my intro, the last Maya city, but it's not kind of the end of the empire. There's a misconception, I think, with the Maya that they had an empire at all. They didn't. They're an ethnic group who had a civilization across Mesoamerica, so Central America, Belize, Guatemala, southern Mexico, and had been around for thousands of years. They were spread across this vast region. They were disparate societies. Some of them had monarchies, some of them had tyrannical rulers, some of them had something closer to what we'd see as a democracy. What they had in common was their ethnic heritage. And that's why it had taken so long from, I guess, their world being discovered by the likes of the Spanish to this day with their final city falling. It's because it's not as if you took down one, you took down the whole lot.
Yeah, and this particular group, the Itza, were living in Paten, a region of dense rainforest and marshland in the north of modern Guatemala. And that was one reason why the Spanish Empire had left them untouched. The other was that they had a reputation for being extremely fierce warriors. But 150 years before this day, Hernán Cortés had marched through the region between conquering southern Mexico to the north of it and then much of Guatemala to the south. He'd marched across it. One of his officers, Bernal Díez de Castillo, later wrote a memoir in which he described Norpaten as a large and impressive settlement whose, quote, houses and temples were covered with white plaster so they could be seen to a vast distance. The largest of those temples was a 54-foot by 54-foot nine-tiered pyramid, like those of Chichen Itza. You know, they were all built on this small island, so it was a densely built city. It was probably home to about 2,000 people, so it wasn't hugely populated, but it did kind of rule over the surrounding Paten area. But because of the reputation of the Itza warriors, places and the fact that it was just really, really hard to get to, the Spanish kind of conquered around it and for a long time didn't even bother visiting. This started to change actually after missionaries began going to Nopaten in the early 17th century. And to be fair, they found that they were quite a different people to what they had imagined, because although they came charging in and started aggressively proselytizing and committing serious faux pas, like destroying a venerated horse statue, which was actually modeled on a horse Cortes had left behind 100 years earlier, the Itza leaders were extraordinarily patient with them. Eventually, they expelled them, but they were unharmed. They just said, please go away and don't come back. But this encouraged the Spanish. They thought maybe we overestimated their fighting spirit.
Yeah, but even by the time the Spanish had got there, the Maya civilization had really been in decline for quite a long time and for very complex reasons. It's thought to have reached its real sort of peak during the classical period, you know, 200 AD to about 900 AD. And that's when they were doing most of the construction of the impressive city-states. And it was also the time when they developed a sophisticated writing system and made significant advancements in astronomy and mathematics and so on. But then afterwards came this period of decline that's called the terminal classical period from about 800 to 1000 AD. And there's so many contributing factors, including sort of environmental things and soil depletion and agricultural things and just the warring of the different Maya groups. But by the time the Spanish turned up, then they were... Well, there were lots of them, and they were still a ferocious adversary for the incoming Spanish conquistadors, but they maybe weren't at the peak of their power.
Yeah, I mean, initially, the Maya lands hadn't been that interesting to the Spanish because they didn't have silver or gold. But then in around about the 1520s, the Spanish realized that the Maya did have a resource they could use in their empire, people, to work the land that they were acquiring as they went about conquering places. So they sort of pivoted their technique, really, from an all-out assault to slashing and burning their land.
Yeah, so for decades leading up to this day, city-state after city-state had been falling to the Spanish conquistadors, but not the Itza. They had remained untouched. And the Spanish widely believed that the Itza were protected by Satan. They couldn't conceive that they were just a nation that the Spanish couldn't conquer. So in 1622, the Spanish had sent an expedition to the area, which was annihilated by Maya warriors. They left zero prisoners, and they sacrificed some of the captives. Spanish soldiers, you know, live sacrifice, ripping the heart out, the whole shebang.
But they had a couple of copies of the New Testament. Might have been worthwhile.
They were like, thanks, guys. Yeah. We'll hold on to these. Now, if you don't mind lying on this marble table and baring your chest. And it wasn't until 1695 that the colonial governor of Yucatan in southern Mexico, as we mentioned, Martin de Ursoa, he sent a small party of Franciscan monks into Paten with Maya guides. And he had this vision for a road that would link Spanish colonial Mexico and Guatemala. But that would mean suppressing this last independent Maya state. They actually did receive a pretty warm welcome, and again, they were allowed to baptize hundreds of Itza children. But the king of the Itza Maya, Canek, that wasn't actually his name, that was a title, all the kings were called Canek, politely but firmly declined their offer to embrace Christianity and Spanish rule. And a few months after the missionaries' return, Canek sent a message saying, actually, you know what, the time's right, my kingdom will submit to Spain. And the Spanish were like, great, that was easy. They then sent a party of Spanish and native troops to Nopaten, only to be ambushed by a party of warriors. So by now, the Spanish authorities were engaged in multiple expeditions into the Paten region to crush this final remaining Maya kingdom.
Well, after Nopaten finally fell, Ursúa really wasn't that interested in governing this newly acquired territory, and so he delegated control to military officers without adequate military or financial support. And after they had done this act of securing Nopaten, Ursúa just went straight back to Merida, leaving Canek and other high-ranking family members as Spanish prisoners in what the town had now been renamed, which was Nuestra Señora de los Remedios y San Pablo, which means Our Lady of the Remedy and St. Paul. And it just meant that the group that were remaining in what was Nopaten were hugely isolated among the still dominant Itza and Cohoj, another Maya group on the mainland, and they faced a very, very precarious situation indeed.
But it was called Our Lady of Remedy. What could be precarious about that?
Right.
I mean, far from being the remedy, the Spanish also bought smallpox and typhoid, foreign diseases which killed a lot of people, and they destroyed a lot of the culture there, and inscriptions and hieroglyphics. Centuries of Maya culture went up in smoke. But hey, we in the West got tomatoes and chocolate, so, you know.
Right.
But although many of the inhabitants of Nopaten escaped, the incursion of the Spanish was ultimately incredibly destructive to the Itza people. When the conquistadors marched into Nopaten in 1697, the region was home to about 60,000 Maya people, many of whom were actually refugees from previously conquered regions. Within 10 years, an estimated 88% of them were dead, the vast majority due to imported European diseases like smallpox.
Yeah, I mean, it's astonishing that the Maya culture survived the invasion with all of these terrible consequences that occurred. But basically, you know, several Maya villages sort of got along by enduring and adjusting to the new colonial realities that they'd been kind of saddled with, retaining elements of their customs and culture.
Yeah, which means as of now, there are more than 6 million Maya descendants living in modern Central America, where more than 30 languages stemming from ancient Mayan are still spoken. Or to take Frank's barroom wisdom version of it in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, the Spaniards banged the Mayans, turned them into Mexicans.
Tomorrow.
Imagine you're like 17 years old, then up pops the Colonel, comes into your kitchen and goes, this is this, I'm
ditch the ads and get a Sunday episode when you join Club Retrospectors. Patreon.com/retrospectors.